Over the last month, we have been looking at the Christmas songs of the Bible, particularly from Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. We've seen the song of Zechariah and the song of Mary, the song of the angels, and the song of Simeon. Those songs focused on the incarnation of Christ. That's when God became flesh and dwelt among us. The incarnation of Christ is really the focus of the Christmas season. It's the focus of our entire season, the incarnation of Christ. But the reason for the season, not to be cliche, but the reason for the season is that Jesus, who was born under the law, fulfilled the law at the cross when he died and paid the penalty for our sins and was resurrected from the grave. So if the incarnation of Christ is the focus of the Christmas season, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the reason for the season, then heaven is the result of the season. And so today I want us to consider the songs of heaven from Revelation chapter 5. If you were here last Sunday evening at our Christmas Eve service, we looked at the songbook of the Bible. We looked at Jesus from the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is often referred to as the songbook of the Bible. And if that's the case, as it is, the book of Psalms is the songbook of the Bible. The book of Revelation could be considered the songbook of heaven. There are numerous songs in the book of Revelation. Here's a little tip for you. In heaven, we will worship. Make no mistake about it. In heaven, we will worship. It will be the most breathtaking worship you have ever experienced in your life, and it will never, ever, ever end. You will never run out of awe in heaven. You will never run out of wonder in heaven. You will never be bored in heaven. I got a bored kid right now at home because it's Christmas break. You'll never be bored in heaven. In heaven, you will always be given new reasons to worship Christ. You'll always be discovering more of the beauty of Jesus and the greatness of God. And we will always be worshiping in heaven. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite pastors of yesterday, he once said this: praise is the rehearsal of our eternal song. And when we gather here together on Sunday mornings and we worship and we sing, it is our rehearsal for eternity. And then he said this: by grace we learn to sing, in glory we continue to sing. We will sing in heaven. And so today, as we conclude our Christmas playlist from the Bible series, it is entirely appropriate that we consider heaven, consider the songs of heaven. And today I want to share with you just three reasons why we will worship Jesus in heaven. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to Revelation chapter 5. And if you would, please stand as we read God's Word together. Revelation chapter 5, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. We're going to read the entire chapter together. Revelation 5 says this: then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even look in it. I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even look in it. And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He went and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song: "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. their number was countless, thousands plus thousands of thousands. And they said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for heaven. Thank you that we can long for heaven and that you've given us a glimpse of heaven. And Father, I pray that today, as a result of your word, lives would be changed, hearts would be touched, the gospel would advance, and you would be glorified. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Three reasons why we will worship Jesus in heaven. Number one, we will worship Jesus in heaven because he alone is worthy to open the scroll. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, we see John describing this jaw-dropping scene that's taken place before his very eyes. In your Bibles, in verse 2, you see the Bible describe this strong angel, this mighty angel, and he's yelling out with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open this scroll?" In verse 3, we find that no one is worthy. There's no one who can open up the thing which God has written, the scroll. There's no one worthy to break the seals. And the result of that is verse 4. Look in your Bible, verse 4. John says, "I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it." He wept and wept. This wasn't like a casual, "Oh, bummer. Oh, bummer, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders," which is a big deal. But this wasn't like an "oh, bummer, no big deal." This was a huge, like John is weeping and weeping. This is an emotional display of total hopelessness. Can you picture John in heaven looking for someone who is worthy to open up the scroll, someone who is worthy to open up the, break the seals, and no one can be found. And in a moment of hopelessness, tears begin to run down his cheeks. Wept and wept. Did you know that this is the only time in the Bible that we see tears mentioned in heaven? Did you know that? Because no one was found worthy to open the scrolls. And just when all seems lost, just when all seems hopeless, look at verse 5. He's weeping and weeping. In verse 5, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Don't cry. Look. For the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he is able to open the scroll and break its seven seals.'" The lion from the tribe of Judah, he can open the scroll. So imagine John is in heaven looking for the lion. He's looking for the lion from the tribe of Judah, looking for the root of David. But notice what he sees, verse 6. He's looking for a lion, and in verse 6, what does he see? A lamb. Look in your Bible, verse 6. "Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures and among the elders." We could do an entire sermon series talking about the Lamb of God. Think about all the times that the Lamb appears in the Bible, beginning with Abraham and Isaac. Do you remember God provided the lamb for Abraham to sacrifice, not Isaac? Think about Passover, when the lamb was sacrificed and the blood was painted on the doorpost of the Israelites so that the angel of death would pass over their house. And then fast forward to the New Testament. Think about John the Baptist. Remember what John the Baptist said when he first saw Jesus? He said, "Behold," and then what did he say? "The Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And now we look forward to heaven in Revelation chapter 5, and we see that same Lamb of God, the slaughtered Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, the root of David. We see Jesus Christ, our Savior. He alone, he is the only one who can open up the scroll and break its seals. And so he does. And look at what the Bible says in verse 9. My Bible says that they sang a new song. Did you catch that? A new song was sung in heaven. And look at what they sang about. They sang about the worthiness of the Lamb. Verse 9, they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals." Why? because you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, he was worthy to open the scrolls because he was slaughtered. He alone was worthy to open the scrolls. Now, in verse 9, your translation might say that might use the word ransomed instead of the word purchase. Does your Bible say ransomed or does it say purchase? Either one is good. The word actually pictures a slave who has been purchased and then set free. Do you get that? A picture of a slave who's been purchased and then set free. Listen, you have been purchased by Christ and set free from the bondage of sin. Jesus is the one who paid the price that you owed, and he set you free, and he set you on a path for heaven. And for that reason, we worship him. We worship the Lamb of God, the slaughtered Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We'll worship him in heaven because he's worthy to open the scroll. Secondly, we'll worship him in heaven because he's worthy to receive honor and glory and blessing. Look at verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and also the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless, thousands plus thousands of thousands. If you had to put a number on that, how many people, how many things, how many creatures were worshiping the Lord here in verse 11? Millions, billions, uncountable, countless thousands plus thousands of thousands. Now, listen, can you imagine how loud that was? Countless thousands upon thousands upon thousands praising God. Listen, I hate to tell you this, but if you don't like loud music, you might struggle a little bit in heaven. Truth be told, you're not going to struggle at all. You're going to love it. You're going to love every bit of the loudness in heaven. In fact, you're going to want to crank it up even more in heaven. You will love it. It'll fill your heart with goodness, with gladness, as you hear thousands upon thousands upon thousands singing in praise to God. And for some of you, you may think that's a miracle. You may think, like, I'm really going to like loud music in heaven. Yep, you're really going to like loud music in heaven. You're going to love it. It will sound better than anything we could ever manufacture here on earth. It'll sound better than any speaker. It'll be heavenly, and you will love it. Beyond loving the loudness of worship, and I know that sounds crazy, but you'll love the loudness of worship. Beyond that, you will also love the object and the subject of our worship. Now, the object of our worship is God. We will always and only worship God. But did you know that in heaven, we will worship about the cross? Did you know in heaven, one of the subjects we will worship about is the cross of Christ? And I know that it's fashionable in some circles today to remove words like cross and suffering and blood and wrath. It's fashionable to remove some of those words from our worship songs, but we ought not do that. And we ought not do that because that's exactly what happens in heaven. They worship about the cross in heaven. Look at verse 12. See if you can find the cross in verse 12. They said what's that word there? They said with a what? A whisper? A loud voice. Loud voice. They said this, worthy is the Lamb who was, what does your Bible say? Slain. Slaughtered. That's the third time we see the word slaughtered or slain in this chapter. We see it in verse 6, we see it in verse 9, we see it again here in verse 12. And the word means, it literally means to be killed by violence. A violent killing. And it's a direct description of the cross of Christ. Because it was there at the cross that the Lamb of God was slaughtered. And so when we get to heaven, we're going to worship about the cross. And you may say, well, why would we do that? Like, why would we worship about the cross and the slaughtered Christ in heaven? Well, I'm gonna go on a vacation next week. We're going to leave today and we're going to go to my mama's. I love going to my mama's house. This is season for traveling. Many of you are here from out of town. You've traveled to see family. It's a season for traveling. And when we leave after church, we're going to go to my mama's. It's about 3 hours away. And when we get there, what do you think the first thing my mama's going to ask me is? Are you hungry? That's going to be the second thing. She knows I'm hungry, so she's got biscuits and gravy ready for me. The first thing she's going to ask me is this: how was the trip? How was your trip? If you get on an airplane and you fly somewhere and someone meets you at the gate, what's the first thing they ask you? How was your trip? How was the flight? We all talk about how the trip to our destination was. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to quickly realize two things. Number one, we don't deserve to be there. There will be zero entitlement in heaven. No one will get to heaven and be like, oh, this is it. There will be zero entitlement. We don't deserve to be there, but we belong to be there. We belong there. You say, well, how do we belong there? Well, that's the second thing you will quickly realize in heaven, that the only way to heaven, the only way we got to heaven, the how, if you will, the trip, if you will, was the cross of Christ. It was that cross of Jesus that made our trip, if you will, to heaven possible. So yeah, you better believe when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing about the cross, about the Lamb who was slaughtered, because He's the only reason we're there. He'll be the only reason. His death, burial, and resurrection on the death and burial, or death from the cross and resurrection from the grave, that's the only way that we get to heaven. He paid the penalty for our sins. He is the way, the only way, the truth, the only truth, and the life, the only life. We will worship Christ, and we will worship the Lamb of God who was slain on the cross for us. We will worship Him because He is worthy to open the scroll, worthy to receive honor, glory, and blessing. And lastly, He is worthy to receive worship forever. Never-ending worship in heaven. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, blessing and honor and glory and power to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. We will worship Christ forever. By the way, remember I told you that in heaven things would get loud. In verse 11, the number was countless thousands plus thousands of thousands worshiping there. But look at verse 13, it gets even louder. The noise is cranked up even more. It's louder than Arrowhead Stadium could ever be. It's the loudest thing you'll ever hear in your life. Verse 13, every creature in heaven, every creature on earth, every creature under the earth, every creature on the sea, everything in heaven, earth, and the ground, every single thing, every single creature will worship Jesus forever. We will worship Jesus forever. Only if we've repented of our sins and trusted in Him as our Lord and Savior. Listen, as we bring this year to a close, 2023 to a close, I want to take just a moment and ask you to reflect on not just the year that's passed, but reflect for a moment on the year that lies ahead. We have 366 days ahead of us in 2024. This could very well be the year that Christ returns, the second advent of Christ. And if it's not, it could very well be the year that the Lord decides to take you home. And I know that's a morbid thought. I get it. I know that. But each year, at the end of the year, I always ponder that question. How many people sitting in this room right now will not be sitting in this room next year, at the end of the year? Death is an ever-present reality for us. Doesn't care about your age, doesn't care about your wealth, doesn't care about your gender. Death is an ever-present reality. We are here at First Baptist, we're in a season of heavy grief. The last 2 months, we've had 5 funerals. By the way, one of the greatest gifts that you can give to a grieving family is to help provide a meal for them, a place where they can come back and gather around tables and talk about their loved ones and have a warm, delicious meal prepared for them. If you can help with that, We would love to have your help with that. We'll get a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center in January. It's just a wonderful way to minister to families. We have so many people who serve in that ministry, and they've served well over the last 2 months. We've had five funerals. That's five of your family members. That's your mom. Some of you, your dad. Some of your husband, your wife, your sister. All of our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have mourned with them. It is a season of loss for us. Death is an ever-present reality, and I want you to think just for a moment about death. Are you prepared, should the day come, are you prepared to die? It's a heavy question, I know. But if today was the day that the Lord called your number, if the day was the last day that you lived here on earth, would you close your eyes in this life and open them in the presence of Christ? Or would you be hellbound? Open your eyes in a place where Christ is nowhere, where God is nowhere. I heard Charles Stanley just this week. I thought it was fitting. Charles Stanley, he was defending himself from some criticism that he was trying to scare people into heaven. And Charles Stanley, he said this: if I believed I could scare you into heaven, I would. I would do all I could to scare you into heaven, but I can't scare you into heaven. But he said this: I do want to encourage you to take serious the decisions in this life. And I'm with Charles Stanley. If I believed I could scare you into heaven, I would. And I would do everything I could to scare you into heaven. But there's nothing that I can do to scare you into heaven. We can talk about the beauty of heaven, the glory of heaven, the worship in heaven. We can talk about how amazing heaven will be. We can talk about how awful hell will be. But there's nothing I can do that will scare you into heaven. But I do want you to take serious this life and the decisions that you make in this life and how it directly impacts the next life. The decisions you make in this life will determine where you spend eternity. Forever, never ending. Eternity is forever. And the only way to spend eternity with Christ is to repent of your sins and believe in the finished work of Christ, to believe in the cross, the work of the cross, that when Jesus said it is finished, he meant it. Repent and believe in Jesus and be saved. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow. Some knees will bow in worship and adoration in heaven, and some knees will bow in regret on their way to hell. And I want you to be with me in heaven. There's a lot of things we don't know about heaven, right? We have a lot of questions about heaven. But one thing we do know, we're going to worship in heaven. And I want you to be right there next to me worshiping in heaven. And when it gets a little bit too loud, I'm going to look over at you and smile real big. I want you there with me. And listen, the only way you can be there is to repent of your sin and trust in Christ. Have you received the gift of salvation? If not, you can. It'll be the best Christmas gift you've ever gotten. Repent of your sin, trust in Christ, and be saved. And if you are saved, I'm going to invite you to stand in just a moment, and we're going to worship, and I want you to worship like heaven. I want you to worship loud. I want you to worship God with all that you have. Worship him loudly. Worship the worthy Lamb of God. Worship him with gladness in your heart. If you need Christ, come on down to the altar. I'll be here. I can pray with you and lead you to repent of your sins and trust in Christ. If you just need to come to the altar and pray, come to the altar of prayer. If you need to be right where you are, make a decision right where you are. You can do that. However the Lord's leading in your life, you choose to be obedient to him this day. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for paying the penalty of my sins so that I can be in heaven forevermore and so that we can worship you. God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the message of the Christmas season. Thank you that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Thank you, Lord, for the sinless Christ who died on the cross. And thank you, Lord, that he didn't stay dead, but he was resurrected to life. And now he sits ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father. Father, we long for that day. We long for heaven. Father, I pray if there's decisions that need to be made here today that you would move in your strength and might and accomplish your will and help us to get out of your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.